This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Arms Length Reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. Time for KER Politics. Have two phenomenal guests for the show today. I'm going to give almost the half an hour to each one of them. Starting out with my friend Lowell Ponte, making his home down in Carlsbad, California. A very, very interesting guy. We're going to cover a couple of topics that I happen to be very opinionated on, and you all know what my opinions are, and that Lowell is very, very familiar with and is also very opinionated on. We're going to talk first about the reparations that some of the Democrats are suggesting we give to the entire African-American community because of the alleged mistreatment. What do you think about that one, Lowell?
Oh, it's not alleged. It's quite actual mistreatment. All I say in this is that the one standard we have, the one benchmark for government paying people reparations for how they were treated, are the reparations paid in 1988 to Japanese Americans who were interned in camps like Manzanar.
Yeah.
And they were paid $20,000 apiece, but the rule that the government imposed was very uniform and clear. And that is, if you were in the camp, you get the money. If you were not in the camp, you do not get the money. In other words, they did not pay reparations to the children, the grandchildren, the great-great-great-great-grandchildren of Japanese Americans who were interned.
Well, that's pretty
And I would say the same for slavery. If you were actually a person held legally as a slave in the United States, you are entitled to huge reparations. Unfortunately, slavery ended in 1865, and as far as anyone knows, everyone who was a slave in 1865, the last moment they were legally enslaved anywhere, quote-unquote, everyone who was in that position is now dead, and so there's no one who qualifies for reparations. It doesn't matter if you're the great-great-great-great-grandchild of a slave. You were never a slave yourself. And so there's no reason to pay you slave reparations.
Well, all I can say is so much for Elizabeth Warren and her crew, Alexander Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of them.
Elizabeth Warren, remember, and she bent after my column, which appeared at WorldNet Daily on Sunday. I said, gee, why is she not considering the genocide against Native Americans to be even more severe than slavery? In other words, why did she say blacks should get reparations, but Native American Indians should not? And after that, after I pointed that out, and a few other columnists said she's being very hypocritical here, after all, she pretended to be a Native American herself, she decided to change her mind and somehow include Indians.
Yeah.
The reparations. So they're now for blacks and Indians by Elizabeth Warren. The other major advocate of this was the California Senator Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, who makes a great deal of the fact that she is black. The only catch is she's not American black. She's black because her father is a Jamaican, which is nice, but he was never a slave in the United States, or his ancestors weren't. So she herself does not qualify for the very reparation she's advocating. Her mother, by the way, was a Tamil from India.
Yeah.
Speaking of Indians. And so there, too, we have people advocating this who were not qualified for this. Now, people like Bernie Sanders have, with great surrealism, gone out of their way in past years to refuse to support reparations. Most Democrats have refused, and the obvious reason is, in polling, up to 84% of the American people are opposed to reparations.
You know, I got to tell you, I read a very interesting editorial this morning while I was waiting for my wife down at the dialysis center, and it was written by Peggy Noonan. I happen to love her editorials. Declarations is far and away my favorite part of the Wall Street Journal. She was talking in there about the danger that the left wing, the Democrats specifically, which she says are going even farther and farther left right now. She said the dangers to our country right now are staggering, and Republicans better take this whole thing seriously, otherwise America is going to be totally a horse of a different color. What do you think about that?
Well, it's going to be a horse that doesn't adhere to the values of our ancestors, certainly. What color it is doesn't really matter. But you have all kinds of surrealism where race is concerned. Remember, too, that Adolf Hitler, evil demonic creature that he was, understood, at least, that socialism and racism are the same thing. They are both collectivist philosophies that totally dismiss human beings as individuals. Mm-hmm. You are not an individual, Al, in the collectivist view of today's Democrat socialists.
Right.
You are a member of groups.
Right.
You are a member of the group called African Americans or gay or whatever. But your value, your worth, your importance, and whatever you're to be rewarded with is based on you being a member of that group or collective, rather than being an individual created uniquely by God.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they don't believe in God, so it's rather simple for
totally
them.
Totally immaterial, right?
Yes. Now, the interesting exercise one gets into with reparations, of course, is there are all the logistical difficulties. For example, who should pay for reparations? And we're assuming they'll amount to a great deal of money. They will be paid, presumably, by non-blacks. To blacks, or by the government tax base. Well, that's nice. I have ancestors who came to the United States after slavery had ended. None of my ancestors ever owned slaves, neither did three-quarters of Southerners, for that matter. Some of my ancestors fought on the Union side. They were French-speaking farmers in Iowa. But they were drafted, they were conscripted, they were made slaves themselves to fight for the emancipation of slaves. So should my ancestors have to pay, or should my ancestors be recompensed for the contribution they made to freeing the slaves? That's a reasonable question. Then you have the problem of the descendants of slaves themselves. Now, you and I might agree that reparations would be ideally owed to slaves, but do you think reparations should be paid to the descendants of the slave owners? Yes or no?
If I was a Democrat running for office, whatever my superior said, I'd believe, because I don't think most of those people have...
Whatever buys you the votes you need to win, in other words.
You got it.
But this is the point. I mean, if you look at the average African-American. The average African-American has in his or her DNA between 14% and 27% white DNA. And in most cases, that is part of the legacy they have inherited from ancestors who, as slaves, were raped or otherwise sexually exploited by the plantation owners. So in other words, if you give reparations to black Americans, and this may explain why they are so bizarre politically very often, much more bizarre than black Africans, for example, who are perfectly ordinary, rational, self-respecting people.
Yep.
But the average American black contains the DNA of slave owners.
Mm-hmm.
And so think of what their internal moral value system must be like, why they're so prone to violence and drug use and hatred. Could it be that because they are also slave owners by their very nature? And by the way, that must explain why they love the Democratic Party. Because the Democratic Party was the party of the slave owners, was the party of the Ku Klux Klan, was the party of Jim Crow, was the party of Bull Connor, and by the way, I mentioned Japanese Americans, they were also the party who interned the Japanese Americans.
Well, we've got to take a real quick commercial. Sorry, got to take a real quick commercial break here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be right back with Mr. Interesting Lowell Ponte. Stick around.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back. I'm here with Mr. Interesting Lowell Ponte. Don't want to talk about slavery anymore. Don't want to talk about reparations anymore. I want to talk about something that really is a very, very black and white topic. Everybody agrees on it. There is no emotion involved in it whatsoever. I just bit my tongue. I think I'm going to have to go to the hospital. Lowell, what do you think about the abortion situation, specifically as laid as put in the law by Governor Cuomo of New York?
Well, I think the most fundamental right under our Constitution is the right to life. It's enshrined in the Declaration of Independence, for example. So what did an abortion law mean that not only says you can kill a child up to the moment it's delivered, but that says if the baby to be aborted somehow slips through the hands of the abortionist, as has happened many times, and winds up actually born, well, in that case, it doesn't matter. The parents of the doctor still have the right to kill it, even though it is a born, breathing baby.
Yep.
Now, that is utterly appalling. It takes us back to the days of Moloch,
yep.
the god whose religious cult sacrificed their own children
mm-hmm.
to this pagan god whom the Hebrews,
mm-hmm.
the Israelites,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
had to deal with.
The Book of Moses, yeah.
Yeah, that is what the Democrats have given us today. That's what they embrace. And by the way, just parenthetically, because I do like to weave this back, African Americans who support the Democratic Party, they constitute 12.5% of the American population, but the number of abortions, the proportion of abortions that are black in the country are somewhere between 25% and 40% of all abortions. So in other words, Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, who cleared the way, she used to speak before the Ku Klux Klan, talking about how we must get rid of the unfit among us. That same Planned Parenthood that Democrats give $500 million a year to is disproportionately murdering black Americans. If I were a black American, I would wake up and say, how the hell did I get conned into ever voting for Democrats?
Right.
They've always been America's racist political party. They still are. They practice racism every day. It's the main thing they run on, fomenting hatred among people. And as to what they want to do with abortion, well, that's just an example of how depraved their moral values are. It has become the sacrament of the political left. What frightens them, you have to understand why Democrats were willing to propose reparations, because they are desperate. They are frightened nearly to death because they have seen the recent polling. Even from left-wing polling groups, we find this. The black vote is swinging to Trump. He could win more than 20% of the black vote. Hillary Clinton lost the presidency by getting only 88% of the black vote. She needed more. If 20% of the black vote goes Republican, goes to the party of the great emancipator who freed their ancestors, then suddenly the Democratic Party will cease to exist. Latinos are swinging to Trump. He may win 40% of the male Latino vote in the next election. And more than that, the Pew Research Center did a study in which they found that 73% of Latinos, nearly 3 out of 4 Latinos, either believes we already have as many immigrants as we need in the country, or we already have too many. They do not want more illegal immigration. Polling of women has shown that suburban women now want the wall, and they want Trump to be able to use emergency powers to build the wall because they are frightened. Those women have also turned against abortion. It used to be that at least a majority of women in this country would accept some kind of abortion. In the latest polling, and this is done by a left-wing polling group, what they have found is that it is now tied, 47% to 47% in the women's vote, with a tide running strongly in favor of anti-abortion views. That the Democrat willingness to murder babies has become so great. Well, you, the governor of Virginia.
Yeah.
For example, who
yeah.
boasted of passing a law that would allow the slaughter of a baby who was supposed to be aborted, but somehow was born without being aborted. He wanted still to be able to kill him. How much money did that person get from Democrat interest groups? He got $2 million from Planned Parenthood, and he wants to murder babies. This is the Democratic Party 2019. They are literally the party of Satan. They should never be allowed. No decent human being could ever vote Democrat again. And by the way, Victoria Ocasio-Cortez.
Alexandria,
pardon. I always get that confused. But she now says, should people in my generation have children? Well, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, you certainly shouldn't. I mean, our country has enough idiots
right.
in it already, and enough people who want to destroy the right. See, this is the thing. The Democrats claim to be the party that will tear down the statues of Confederates
mm-hmm.
who held slaves 150 years ago. But you look at their policies. You look at their regulatory policy, their tax policy, and so on. They want to make slaves out of you and me now. They want to be slaveholders now. They believe in socialism, which is a form of slavery, now.
Yep.
They are the enemy. They are the current slaveholders. Why would any sane person, black or otherwise, ever vote for them? By the way, Craig Smith, who you see once a week on with Neil Cavuto on Fox
yeah.
Business,
mm-hmm.
in our seventh book together, Money, Morality, and the Machine,
yep.
the good news is your listeners can get this book absolutely free and postpaid. Won't cost you a penny. Don't have to give $20 to Jeff Bezos and Amazon just by calling a toll-free number. And we'll pay the shipping. We'll pay everything. It will not cost you anything. 800-630-1492, like the year Columbus sailed the ocean blue, is that number. 800-630-1492.
And you got to be selling the dickens out of that book. You've got a wit like I know Craig a little bit, but I got to tell you, you have a wit and an intellect second to none. Lol, and that's no BS. That's my
well, Craig is a remarkable person. He is yeah. an economic genius. He is a brilliant writer and thinker, as you see on Fox every week. And most of all, frankly, he is an incredibly moral human being. He's
mm-hmm.
the most moral person I've ever worked with in business.
Well, you've never worked
with him. I can't tell you how much admiration I have for him.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I don't disagree. I've met Craig before. He's a good person. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll put that phone number up adjacent to this interview. Lowell Ponte is going to get your back. Thank you so much, my man.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The House Oversight and Government Reform Committee has given the Trump administration until Monday to voluntarily turn over documents related to White House security clearances. That action follows reports about how President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner got his clearance. Last month, the New York Times asked Trump if he pushed for that.
I know that there was issues back and forth about security for numerous people, actually. But I don't want to get involved in that stuff.
Oakland public school teachers end their strike after negotiators announced a tentative contract. Union President Keith Brown says there's a pay raise and support staffers will be added.
More counselors, psychologists, support for new students, and bonuses to help nurse recruitment.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. Continuing on with KER Politics. I'm chatting with a very interesting woman right now. Her name is Christine Douglas-Williams, a Canadian, among other things. Christine has written a book entitled The Challenge of Modernizing Islam. Christine has a very, very relevant background to writing this book, and I'm going to ask her to tell all of us a little bit about herself. Christine, the mic is yours.
I'll try to be short doing this. I'm a 9-time international award-winning broadcast journalist by trade, and my book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, was published by Encounter Books in New York City. And I was very pleased that upon its first release, it became a number one bestseller in the category of international institutions. So it's on campuses across the U.S. and in Canada, and even in on Australia's Wollongong University and on their Dubai campus, which really surprises me as well. I was a former crime and news reporter, and I've done hundreds of articles. I've written for the Gatestone Institute, Breaking Israel News, Middle East Quarterly. My writings have appeared in many different venues. And I was also a former conservative government appointee to the Office of Religious Freedom, and that's before the Liberal government of Canada shut it down. And I was a director to the Canadian Race Relations Foundation, but I was removed by the Trudeau government for my writings on political Islam and writing for Jihad Watch. And this led the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., to commission and publish my new monograph telling about that that story and doing an analysis as part of their civilizational jihad series.
Let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about the basic tenure of the book. Now, I'm very curious about this. I'm very interested in it because I do have a number of Islamic friends, people from, of all places, the Middle East. They most of them live in Canada, I have to say. But what I would say about that is the people who I know fall into the category of, I would have to say, love your neighbor, help your neighbor, etc., etc. They are very, very anti the jihadist and the violent actions of some of the members of Islam. What percentage of the folks who are Islamic actually fall into that category, Christine?
That is a critical question, and it is one that people are grappling with all the time. Because when one does stats and talks about the very small percentage of jihadists, they're right in terms of those that will actually pick up weapons and start slaughtering unbelievers and slaughtering apostates and so forth and gays and whatnot. But what is often not taken into consideration, and this is very difficult to capture, is what number of those same Muslims ascribe to the Sharia. Because according to the Islamic fiqh, the Sharia is a divine law and it can't be changed. However, with that being said, not all Muslims, and I can't overemphasize that, ascribe to the Sharia. Those that I interviewed in my book do not ascribe to the Sharia, and there are also a lot of Muslims globally that they're Muslims by culture, by history, but they do not follow the Islamic fiqh. And then others might try to say, well, then you're not a real Muslim. Well, according to the Islamic fiqh, according to the ulama, they are not real Muslims, and they can face dangers of the same dangers that, let's say, the Ahmadiyyas face, where they are a persecuted group within Islam. In fact, just to give you a little idea, since 1948, over 11 million Muslims have been killed by their fellow co-religionists for not being Muslim enough. So it's very difficult to be able to try to teach people or give the information on accurate stats when also another factor is their mosques across the West. Many of these mosques are funded by Saudi Arabia, some funded by Turkey, and others even by Iran. And they are radicalized mosques. They're preaching the kind of reform back to the 7th century about the house of war versus the house of Islam, and the house of war must be subjugated under the house of Islam. So if you're going to a mosque like that, and you're cursing Christians and Jews every Friday, which is part of the Islamic prayer in those mosques, they look at unbelievers, Jews and Christians, as being inferiors, then one has to ask the question, are you really on the side of the West, and what is your agenda in moving to the West? Is it a stealth plan to overtake the West? Because according to Islamic law, the world is divided into those two camps, the believers and the unbelievers. So to say, oh, one particular small percent represents violent jihad, may be violent, but what about the rest that ascribe to Sharia law and they believe in violent jihad and they're actually preaching it? Those stats are not taken into consideration, and it's near impossible to try to figure out the truth about those stats. However, we do know that a very high percentage believes in Sharia law, and what about those that may not admit that they believe in Sharia law? So we really can't tell, but we know that it is a high number in terms of Sharia law, and in terms of when you look at groups like CARE that's related and directly connected to Hamas in their origins and in what they ascribe to in terms of Israel, in terms of what they, this Islamophobia subterfuge, you have to stop and say, look, something is going on here and it is a myth. And these are questions are not being addressed by the media, and they're not being taken seriously enough by those who ascribe to our Constitution.
Rather an interesting situation. I know quite a bit, as our listeners are aware, about the Judeo-Christian path, the Judeo-Christian way of life. And in my opinion, it really doesn't subscribe to what I would call the way of life, I guess I have to say, definitely does not subscribe to violence and killing of people who don't agree with you. Now, let me just say this, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But in your book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam, you interviewed many, many modern and reformist Muslims in the Western world. Tell me about some of those conversations, if you would.
Okay, and I'll give a very brief analysis. Now, Dr. Zuhdi Jasser is well known across the States. And his emphasis in the book is about the victimology subterfuge. He comes right out and says, look, we're being played. We're being played by groups like CARE that they ascribe to victimology because they use it as an underhanded means to subjugate us. That is his emphasis. He talks openly about normative Islam, which is not peaceful. So normative Islam is not peaceful. In answer to the question, is Islam a religion of peace? Raheel Raza deals a lot with multiculturalism and how it has opened the door to something that she says is only one-sided. It is no longer a two-way street. Their preferences when it comes to Islamic supremacists coming into the country, Islamists, and she refutes that because she talks about the big wool that they're pulling over the eyes of the people. These are very open interviews because they were taped and they were not edited for content. Sheikh Dr. Ahmed Subi Mansour, he was a man that taught at Al-Azhar University. That's where all of Islamic jurisprudence comes from in the world in Sunni Islam. It's a very important institution. He was actually jailed for supporting Islamic reform because he is the founder of the Quranist sect in Egypt. So he talks about his experience and how he was exiled under Mubarak. Dr. Tafiq Hamir is another one with the Potomac Institute for Policy Studies, and he is amazing in how he discusses not only the victimology, but the extent of the hatred against unbelievers, against the states, and against Israel. Dr. Salim Mansour talks about history and why he believes in reform, and he says there is no reason why Islam, because there are a lot of people now asking questions of the Muslim faith, why this can't be brought into and allowed to be brought into the 21st century. Dr. Kanta Ahmed, she talks about just living daily. She has a different approach in that, come on, just let bygones be bygones, leave things in history, move forward, and advocate for a different kind of Islam than we see CARE and these kinds of sympathies, these kinds of organizations that have Islamist sympathies doing. Dr. Jalal Zubairi talks about the immutability of the decree when it comes to Islam, and the only way out of that is to have discussions that may be insulting to Muslims. Hate and violating laws when it comes to hate is very different, but he believes that Muslims need to understand pluralism and they need to come to grips with their own sensibilities. And Shireen Quddousi is a young Muslim who talks openly about a lot of her own inner struggles, and she also advocates a modernized version of Islam no matter who gets offended. So that's it in a nutshell, but these people get deeply into the faith, what it means to them, how they reconcile the problematic texts of the Quran, the Hadiths, with their own belief system now, trying to advocate a modernized version of their faith.
Christine, we need to take a real quick commercial break right now. We're going to be back, ladies and gentlemen, within 30 seconds discussing this very, very interesting subject. Stick around.
Listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The Deep State began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hey, welcome back. Continuing with KER Politics, wrapping it up. This is the final segment. I continue my discussion with Christine Douglas Williams. We're talking about what I would call, well, number one, her book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam. I'm not sure that it's possible, but I think that Christine can obviously discuss that particular issue to a much greater extent than I can. Christine, now you were terminated from a job in Canada for a reason that I consider to fall within the realm of stupidity, and that is political correctness. Let's talk about that issue.
Oh, it was way more than that. If it was only just political correctness, this was sinister. I was a board member with the Canadian Race Relations Foundation in an appointed position by the Privy Council of Canada. And this was by the Conservative government. When the Liberal government came in, they also brought in with them, and you may have heard it, a lot of people have, Motion M103. It's an anti-Islamophobia motion. People tried to cast this motion as if it was not problematic. It's dealing with Islamophobia. What's the problem? But there were suggestions. Why not just call it anti-Muslim bigotry? The NCCM, which is CARE CAN, they renamed themselves the National Council of Canadian Muslims. They're behind the Islamophobia drives. And Islamophobia, they kind of did a slip up there when they were trying to give a definition for the Toronto School Board by describing it not only as anti-Muslim bigotry, but as those who criticize, and in fact, as those who have a dislike for elements of Islam. Well, a dislike for elements of Islam is absolutely prudent. So they ended up putting their foot in their mouth. But if one looks at the definitions of Islamophobia, if you could find them, it is being heavily pushed by the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and it does mean dislike of certain elements of Islam aside from anti-Muslim bigotry. It also means about Muslimness. If you happen to not like Muslimness, well, what does that mean? So the National Council of Canadian Muslims is connected to CARE, which is connected also with Hamas. And this is a group that has brought in Islamophobia all across the country. Six cities in Canada, main cities, have ascribed to it. And under this M103, I happened to be in that Department of Heritage, where M103 came out of. And I was issuing warnings in my writings about those who may tell you they're moderate, people that have roots to the Muslim Brotherhood, and they tell you they're moderate, and they'll smile with you, they'll say, oh, they're into the diversity promotion, they're into anti-racism, but beware, because they do have an agenda that's laid out in their own documents with the Muslim Brotherhood agenda and the plan for North America. Because of my writings, and because particularly of my warning in Iceland, I paid a visit there, and Robert Spencer and I spoke in Iceland. That was some trip. And the largest paper in Iceland, the Morgenblad, had published my warning to Icelanders, and there were complaints that went back from social justice warriors in Iceland to the department, and they had been watching me for some time, and to make a long story short, I was fired from the Canadian Race Relations Foundation, which was not legal because I did nothing wrong. I criticized political Islam, not all Muslims, as you know from my book.
Well, with that particular situation, I have a problem with. And the reason I have a problem with it, not certainly not your actions, but I have a real problem with the concept of political correctness, because political correctness, in my opinion, is based on only one thing, and that's ignorance. And that's why I am somewhat concerned, Christine, with what's going on in my country right now. Now, you're a Canadian. You live outside of Toronto. I'm an American. I live in the northwest corner of Washington, and I am a very big believer in the ideal, and I have to underscore the word ideal, in the ideal concept of freedom. Okay, I believe in helping my neighbor. I have no malice towards anybody other than people who are dramatically, in my opinion, in error in their thinking, and the jihadists very definitely fall into that category. There's no question about that. Let's go on into the next subject that I'm very curious about. How, in your opinion, based on your, what I would call, sophisticated knowledge of this issue, how successful would you feel the radical Islamic people are in their quest to, I use the word reform, you know what I mean, reform America to their way of thinking, or for that matter, reform Canada to their way of thinking. Is that a very real danger in your opinion, Christine?
Yes, it is. I think jihadists are very advanced in terms of, I mentioned the concept of the House of War, Dar al-Harb, and the House of Islam, Dar al-Islam. The House of War is actually supposed to be subjugated under the House of Islam, according to jihad theology, which is part of the Islamic fiqh. And it is very important to understand, when you use the word reform, what exactly you mean by reform. Because you've got those now ascribing to reforming Islam back to the 7th century. That's one branch of reform. You've got another branch of reform, which is the Muslim Brotherhood, that decides to put a pretty face on 7th century Islam, make it more institutional, kind of do a subtle blend between Western institutions and the Sharia, but they're very much into the Sharia. They're Sharia advocates. That's one brand of reform. You've got another brand of reform that I talk about, and that is to just take up the violence out of what's being preached in the Hadiths and even in parts of the Quran. Now, in terms of people and in terms of a document is made alive by the people. When people ask the question, how likely is reform? It's very difficult to gauge. We saw the fall of the Ottoman Empire, which was also a surprise, and that happened pretty much as a coup inside, using the Young Turks, that group within the Ottoman Empire that was actually working with what's called infidels of Europe, and it created the fall of the Ottoman Empire. We saw something similar with the Soviet Union that fell, that was not expected to fall. They're often underground movements, and the reform movement toward modernity has been going on for an awfully long time. The people in this book are those that are talking about it on North American soil, but there are others that are actually living on Islamic soil, and throughout history they've been murdered for trying to change that, because Islam's face today and the Islamic fiqh came out of the eras of the caliphates. There are those that argue before the violent caliphates, which happened right after Muhammad's death, there was a different form of Islam that more ascribed to peace, and that's up for debate, because when Muhammad made his trek from Mecca to Medina, we saw a lot of peaceful versions, the Meccan version, which was what the modernists ascribed to, and the Medina version, when he went and was rejected by the Jewish tribes and the Christians, then the violence came too. But those who want modernity ascribe to a peaceful version, and that is different. To try to say how many of those exist globally, since you have various branches of it, is very difficult to assess, because it's largely an underground movement. Those that come out and talk about it, like in the book and on Western soil, these are people people that are talking about it in Western Seoul. They're not living in the Middle East. They're not living in areas like Pakistan where they're facing the same kind of challenges. So it's very difficult to gauge what numbers there are. But we do see uprisings in the Middle East. We do know that people were not meant to be living under oppression. There is a resistance going on. The problem is the battle within Islam, the turf war, has now landed on our soil, and it should not have. Had they listened to the Constitution, abide by the Constitution, reject this Islamophobia subterfuge that's coming down from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, we would not be in a mess that we're in. We would not have people like Tlaib and Omar in Congress. It has now reached Congress. That is alarming.
Well, what I find to be interesting is we do have a slowly growing number of Islamic folks who have worked their way into the U.S. government, whether it's Congress or what have you. I mean, obviously, it's just Congress, the House, and the other branch, obviously, Congress and the House. But what I have to say is Senate. But what I have to say is that I am somewhat concerned, Christine, and we're down here to about 2 minutes, okay? I'm very concerned, and that's one of the reasons I'm so interested in your book, with what's going on in the United States right now, what with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and her Muslim colleagues who are also, and she doesn't happen to be Muslim, and I'm not implying that, that with her colleagues who are Muslim, who are now entrenched and very vocal in the federal government. Does that concern you at all?
It concerns me terribly. First of all, I blame Westerners for not picking up their own power by way of Judeo-Christian democracy, by way of the Constitution, and saying, look, I stand by human rights, I stand by free speech, and there is no religion or theology or doctrine that must not be criticized. This is America, this is Canada, this is Europe, too bad. This is the problem I have. Instead, we have allowed the Islamic turf war to come here, and we have Muslims speaking for us across the board. We need to start speaking up for ourselves because they have absolutely no respect for us. They're out to overtake our democracy, and they're doing it.
You know, Christine, the problem there in a nutshell, and I would like all of our listeners to pick up a copy of this book, The Challenge of Modernizing Islam. We have a huge problem in the United States right now, and it is represented by the political correctness, so they call it, of the Democratic Party. It's also being influenced extremely by some of our elected officials. Christine Douglas Williams, author of The Challenges of Modernizing Islam. Thank you so much.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guest by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Hi.
hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.